welcome back to the Support Staff Podcast. Today, we have Sarah Goolsby, Administrative Assistant for United States Air Force Football Team, and Bo Savage, Assistant Creative Director and Lead Graphic Designer for the Air Force Football Team, both in with us today to talk a little bit about their profession, what it takes to be a support staff member, and how to get in these positions, and what they do in these positions, and how much they enjoy it. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast. That's why our friends at Black Tux designed rental suits and tuxedos that you'll love wearing at your wedding. So if you end up getting featured on your list of 23 epic wedding failures for, say, your reception table catching on fire or your DJ playing Let's Get It On during the father-daughter dance, at least you know you look good for your close-up. I know for sure if I had had these guys during my wedding, it would have made it a lot easier and probably a lot less stressful for my wife and myself. But the best part about the Black Tux rental is that they have an easy online ordering process that'll bring your suit or tuxedo straight to you at home. Just pick a style at theblacktux.com and request a free at-home try-on so you can feel the fit and the quality before you commit to the suit. And if online isn't your style, they have showrooms all over the country where you can find your fit and plan your look for your day. From there, they'll ship you your order 2 weeks before your wedding so you can check it at home one last time. Talk about commitment. Over 5,000 five-star reviews across WeddingWire, The Knot, and their own website agree you won't find another rental experience or design like the ones that you'll find at Black Tux. Grooms, listen up. If you want your wedding to be remembered for the right reasons, visit blacktux.com/listen. That's blacktux.com/listen for $20 off your purchase. Walk, don't run, to theblacktux.com/listen to find your look for you and your crew. That's blacktux.com. Formal wear for the moment. Next up on the podcast is the administrative assistant, Sarah Goolsby. Sarah is the front office administrative assistant for Coach Calhoun and the United States Air Force football team. Sarah came to us within the last year and does a fantastic job with handling day-to-day operations for Coach Calhoun and the football team, as well as helping out the players and the support staff as well. Sarah's husband is currently in the United States Air Force with their children. He's currently serving abroad, and she is a Canadian transplant. You definitely won't see that in her voice maybe a couple times, but Sarah has done a great job for the United States Air Force, and let's get into the podcast for Sarah Goolsby, the United States Air Force football team administrative assistant. Hello and welcome to the Support Staff Podcast. Today I have the honor of interviewing Sarah Goolsby. Sarah is the, I don't really know your actual professional title, but I just, could you let us know what that is?
I can. Hey, Chris. I'm the executive assistant, so okay. I run the front office for the football team.
All right, awesome. You know, just kind of give the listeners a little background on yourself. You know, we talk to you every day. We have interaction with you every day. The common listener doesn't really have any background on you, so.
All right. Well, so I am an Air Force spouse, and so I came into this position because of connections through the Air Force Academy and a little bit of my background.
You know, where are you from? Like, give us that, because I think that's a really interesting thing about you is not a lot of people know that you are from Canada. You know, you get the O's, you get the A's. You know, we have our coming back and forth, the Degrassi and things of that nature. Just give us a little bit of background about you personally.
All right. Well, like you said, I'm a proud Canadian. And I love that that my family is blended American and Canadian. So I met my husband. He's a graduate from the Air Force Academy 2001. And the two of us met when we lived over in England. So awesome. I was actually originally trained as an elementary school teacher. All right. And I suppose as an Air Force spouse, the way to adapt to this special type of lifestyle is to jump at every opportunity you have. So his job is always going to be what kind of challenges us with our moves every few years. And the best thing that I can be as a support to his job and to his Air Force life is every time we pick up, let's find a different type of job. Let's kind of keep current in what I find, you know, is relevant as we go through.
Obviously, like you're saying, with being in the Air Force, you guys moved around quite a bit. How many times have you guys actually moved?
Oh gosh, if I had to count, probably seven times, six, seven times.
So being able to adapt to your surroundings is just a huge thing for you. And I think
that's right.
in the support staff role, that's a huge characteristic and quality that you need to have, is being able to adapt to a new situation or new people, because constantly in the college football or college athletics or professional athletics, everybody is new. There's always somebody new coming in. There's always somebody, a new coach going out, a new coach coming in, or a new support staff person coming out, new coming in. And I think that's awesome that you have that ability to be able to adapt quickly. And I think that anybody in this role needs to be able to have the ability to adapt quickly as well. So moving forward from that, I mean, that's an awesome background. I mean, to be able to say that you're from Canada, I know we've given you a lot of jabs with hockey and things of that nature. One of the things is in college, in Canada, it's not called college. What is it called?
It's called university.
University.
That's right. So I have to keep catching myself when I say, I'll say and then I'll say college, even though I know you all know what I'm talking about.
Did you go to college to have this type of profession, or did you go to your universities for that profession, or what did you go to your universities for?
So I went to university to become an elementary school teacher.
Okay.
But just coincidentally, perhaps, I ended up working in the athletic department mm-hmm. as a part-time job when I was in university, training to be a teacher.
Okay.
And my primary responsibility was helping out with football team and oh, recruitment and reimbursements and a lot of the skills that I guess developed over 20 years ago in mm-hmm. that job are finally apply to where I am right now. So it's just interesting that I've kind of come full circle in that way. I don't know if I would have ever thought that I'd be back in this type of position again.
Yeah.
But it was like it was meant to be.
Well, and I found this interesting yesterday. It's just a small world. Taylor Stubblefield, one of our assistant coaches, the wide receiver coach here, you said that you had a connection to him and when he was part of the CFL. We want to
talk
about that a little bit.
Yeah, so that job that I had in the athletic department at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario, so our head coach, Greg Marshall, mm-hmm. He ended up being the head coach of the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the CFL,
okay.
And Coach Stubblefield played for him.
Awesome.
And so it's just, in that small world type of connection that we would both find ourselves at the Air Force Academy, but be able to come up with something in common is pretty amazing.
And that's the awesome thing I think about this career field is it's such a small world when it's boiled down to it, that the connections that you have to the people, support staff that we have constantly, to the coaching staff or, even the public, it's very awesome. And I think you need to honor those and cherish those connections, because that's something you don't get in a normal 8-to-5, 9-to-5 job. And I think that's one thing that sets this career field apart by any means. But, well, that's awesome. It's always fun to hear people's backgrounds and how they got into this. And for you to start out as an elementary school teacher and then have the football background and then work into the CFL and then for it to all come full circle to be here now at the Air Force Academy, one thing I'd like to ask you is, wanting to have the background of a school teacher, how did you think about going into the football aspect of things? Being at the university, was it just kind of, I'm doing the student teaching, I'm becoming a teacher, I'm also going to do this on the side? Or was there a passion that you had where you're like, I really love sports and I want to do the football aspect as well?
Well, I think that's a combination of many things. So school teaching for sure. Mm-hmm. And even in a few of our moves, I've gone into the fitness industry mm-hmm. and personal training. And so it's always been something about like staying active and being part of a team type of environment, which has always been very attractive to me. And so when this opportunity came up, I just thought, I have administrative experience. Yep. I have athletic experience. I was an intercollegiate athlete myself, and okay. so was my husband. And so,
what sport did you play?
So I was a competitive cheerleader.
Okay,
so
awesome.
Yeah, all the way 10 years, if you include grad school. And
that,
oh my goodness.
And speaking to you now, that makes a lot of sense because just your personality and
all
just
right.
how bubbly you are, it, that makes sense. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, that's okay. And my brothers both played ball, and in university too with one of my brothers. So I feel like this almost seems like a very natural fit.
Yeah.
And even thinking about it being at the Air Force Academy of all places, mm-hmm. There's definitely a learning curve to anybody who comes here, unlike probably any other college that's out there.
Yeah.
And so because my husband's a graduate of here, I had a lot of learning to do about what it even meant to be a graduate of mm-hmm. here and what it meant to even get into this institution. And of course, being on the staff side of things, I think that's great for all of us to understand the unique challenges that our cadet athletes face.
Very much so.
And just how different this place is than anywhere else that's out there.
Yeah, no, being at a service academy, I found over the last, this will be my fifth year now, very unlike any other place in the country. I've worked at Wyoming, I've worked at Houston, and now to be here, there's just a different pecking order. There's a different, you know, every day to day. The students, they're not going to school per se. They're going military, then school, and then they're coming down here, and then they're going back up on the hill, and then they're studying. It is a 24-hour a day situation for our cadet athlete. Being at other schools, it is a 24-hour a day thing, but it's much different in their aspect of how they spend their day. They get to divvy up what they want to do. As here, it's the government tells you to do this. This
That's
is what
right.
you need to do.
Yeah.
And your husband played basketball for the academy?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So he understands that unique balance that a cadet athlete also has to have. So I think that was really helpful in me coming into this position, was that I knew some of that expectation going into it.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. And it's very interesting because to have that insight, like with your husband, you know, some of the things that you do with the front office is you print out, you know, the daily, the daily terms that they use even up on the hill. For normal people like myself, I had no idea what some of the common phrases they use and things of that nature. And you came up to me and you're like, hey, I needed this, you need this. And you give that out to all the assistant coaches when they come in as well.
Yep.
A lot of the things that you do for the program, the facility, the team, even the athletic department, I think it goes unseen, but you do a lot of great quality things. And
Thank you, Chris.
Wanted to commend you on that. Obviously, you went to school for teaching. You're self-taught a little bit on the administrative side with things. What are some of the things about your job that actually excite you?
I think it's just the possibility. Mm-hmm. And when all of these wonderful cadet athletes come in through the door, you just see these amazing futures that lie ahead of them, and that we get to be part of that.
Okay.
And we get to shape what happens beyond just the 4 years that they spend with us here, because we can have a huge impact in what goes on potentially for the rest of their lives, but at least while they're here and while they stay in the military afterwards.
Well, and that's a thing too, is you think, you know, everyday students, they go to the normal universities and whatnot. We're getting the cream of the crop kids. We're
That's
getting
right.
the kids that are the, you know, 1% of their high school, you know, population that are coming to the academies. And I take huge honor in that, just knowing these kids and knowing that, you know, I can rely on them, they can rely on me, and this is a very huge family atmosphere.
That's
I mean,
right.
wouldn't you agree on that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the big thing, is that I think we have a lot of pride in what we do here, and we have so much pride in them as a team. But as proud as we are as what they do out on the football field, we're probably even more proud of what they do off the field.
Oh, very much so, especially after they graduate.
That's right.
It's very interesting and just fascinating to see the career fields that some of these kids go into, with asset management, purchasing, you know, going into drones, flight school, anything of that nature. There is a broad spectrum that they could all cover.
That's
and
right.
it's very awesome to be able to see them and have them come back and be like, hey, I remember you.
That's right.
So it's pretty cool. Talk about your career path, and if there's anything that you might have changed, you know, over the years that you would, I guess, make your career better today. Because obviously people out there, they're wanting to know what it takes to get into this career field. They're wanting to know, do I have the chops to make it as administrative assistant, things of that nature. So is there anything, looking back over the past, that you would change to make this career better for yourself? Or are you happy with how it's come together for you?
I would have to say I'm so happy with the way it's come together. And like I mentioned before, with just adapting every few years with a move, it's just, okay, well, what do I want to do next?
Yeah.
And so I think I'm proud of how that's all worked out. Is you can go into it with a defeatist attitude of, oh, I have to move again, I have to start over again. Or you can say, you know what, let's take this opportunity. Yeah. Why don't I try a different type of job and hone in on a different set of skills? And I think, you know, as you go through the years and just being able to pile up all of those skills,
Very much.
Makes you for a better employee.
Yeah.
And I think the resume sells itself in that sense.
Yeah, and I think that's a key aspect too, because with a support staff role, you're not always going to be in the same spot every year. Like you're saying, you moved around quite a bit. I think with the support staff role, you need to keep that mindset of not the drab, you know, it's a cloudy, rainy day. It is an amazing experience to be able to move on to a new area, to attack a new day, attack a new position, a new area, and be able to fully take that on and, I guess, embrace that role so that you are a better, more well-rounded person when everything's said and done.
That's right. Yeah, agree.
So do you have any advice for somebody that's trying to get in this position that you have? I mean, obviously, like I was saying before, we're all about trying to educate the common person or the person that's wanting to get into a support staff role. So is there any advice or tips that you would give to someone that's wanting to get into administrative assistant role?
I would say, just as any type of job, you just need to not be afraid to get out there, make connections, don't be afraid of failure, and just make your name known. Meet as many people as you can, and also let people know what your goals are too, because no one's going to be able to read your mind. No one is going to walk up off the street and say, you know, you'd be great for this position.
That'd be awesome.
It would be great, but nobody else is a mind reader, so we need to make that happen for ourselves.
No, I agree with you there. I think a lot of the generation that is now coming up, it is a lot of, well, why can't I get this job? And you need to be more vocal with what you want to do. You need to be more, I guess, active in going out there and grabbing the opportunity, because the opportunity is not just going to come to you, like you're saying, on the street and saying, this is your job. You need to be seeking, you need to be looking, you need to be talking to people in your career field to make sure that you have all the tools, or you know, if you don't have the tools, you can add those tools into your toolbox, if you will, so that you have those when you go into an interview. And I think you hit the nail right on the head there. So, Sarah, I know I didn't ask you about this. What's a normal day look like for you?
Oh, there is no normal day. And you know what? That's one of the things I love about my job. I'm always excited to come to work because I really don't know what awaits me every single day. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's the nature of a staff this large and a team this large too. So the unique challenges that face me day to day, I'll always have the administrative work, you know, answering the phones and emails, greeting people that come in through the door, but also scheduling meetings and scheduling travel and helping out in a supportive way. And that could be anything. That could be when we do our sports camps. That could be doing recruiting weekends. That could be doing, you know, team dinners, all sorts of different planning. So that's what's fascinating to me, is that I walk in every day and there's always some new situation to handle. And all of it is in a very positive way. And if I don't feel like I can handle it, I know that we have a support staff that will always be able to help out as well.
Well, and I think it also needs to go said that to the listener, you're not only doing this for the head coach, you're doing this for the entire coaching staff. Yeah. And I think we have, 15 coaches in entirety?
Yeah.
And you also help out with us, the support staff, with certain things that we need too. So you have a very overall huge job when it comes down to it. You make it look so simple. The last thing that I like to do on these podcasts is ask 5 random questions. Just whatever comes off the top of your head. So question number 1, if you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say to the world?
I would say, be more present. I want to see people putting down their phones and looking people in the eye and having a conversation.
No, that's huge, because now I get those updates on my iPhone says, you spent 5 hours on your phone per day. And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah.
But I think that is a huge thing that needs to be done, especially in today's world, because everybody is just so face locked onto their phones.
Absolutely.
If you could speak one word for the day, what would that word be?
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm? You just say that to everybody.
Yeah. Well,
and why is that?
I guess I just feed off of that. I think that we all have a choice every day to be happy about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, then you need to be making some other choices. I know that might be easier said than done, but I love coming into an environment, and I think almost every day I come to work, there is enthusiasm because we all love what we do. And that makes for an exciting work environment and one that we all can't wait to come to every day.
Well, that, and you're right next door to us, which we have music and the disco ball and everything.
I love it.
if you have one penny, so imagine you have one penny.
Okay.
How many pennies would it take to fit in this room?
Oh.
I was thinking about it before we came in here.
Wow, that's an interesting question. I'm going to say 2.75 million.
Actually, it's 2.8, but no, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. Really.
Right.
Would you rather keep your current sleep schedule or hibernate for 3 months and have 9 months of 24/7 alertness without being tired? So basically, would you like to continue being a human being, or would you like to have the same sleep schedule as a bear?
That's another interesting question, Chris. I think I'll keep going with what I'm doing.
Okay.
I like day to day. I wouldn't want to miss out on anything for the next few months.
All right.
Yeah.
That was 4 questions. The 5th question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Would you rather have unlimited sushi for life or unlimited tacos for life? Now choose wisely, because I will judge you upon this.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I don't like seafood, so that'll be an easy one. Tacos. Now, does that mean I could have like a pork taco or
you can
steak
have any.
Taco
I think it's any type
taco?
Of taco.
Okay.
Because me personally, I would have to have different tacos every day.
Yeah.
I can't just have a corn tortilla shell.
Right.
I can't have a flour. I need to go with a lettuce wrap every now and then. Which my wife, bless her heart, we've been eating keto for fairly recently. I haven't been doing a keto diet, but I've been eating keto.
Okay.
And she keeps telling me that I'm going to end up getting fat off of this because of all the high fatty foods. But it's something that I'm very I'm trying to be helpful, the helpful husband, if you will.
Well, happy wife, happy life.
Exactly.
I remember that.
Sarah, it's been a pleasure being able to interview you for this. Again, just here with Sarah Goolsby, the administrative assistant for Air Force Football. Is there anything parting that you'd like to say to anybody out there that's listening?
Wow. Well, I thank you for this opportunity. This has been a lot of fun. And even just having an interview like this just helps to remind me of how lucky I am to be in this position and to be working with such a great staff and a great team.
Well, awesome. Well, Sarah, again, we really value you here at the Air Force Football Department. Just value you as a friend even as well. And again, I want to say thank you and hope you have a good rest of the day.
Okay, you too, Chris.
Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps for everybody to listen to? And how can I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of those questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with some great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you'll get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this Anchor ad. Anchor has made podcasting so much simpler than I ever thought it would be. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast making money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start. That's anchor.fm/start. Join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.com/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Up on the podcast is one of my favorites. He is the right hand to the Air Force football creative team. It is Bo Savage. Bo's been with us for about a little over a year now, coming to us from Lipscomb University. Previously, before that, he was with the Wichita Force. So he had a little bit of Air Force in him, but he just didn't know it. Bo does a great job as the assistant director of creative and lead graphic designer for the United States Air Force team. He's possibly one of the most creative people I've ever been around. Without further ado, let's get into the podcast with Bo Savage, the assistant creative director and lead graphic designer for the United States Air Force football team.
All right, again, this is the support staff podcast. With me right now, I have Bo Savage, the assistant creative director and lead graphic designer for the United States Air Force Academy football team. How are you doing today, Bo?
I'm doing well. Great to be here, Chris.
Glad to have you here, too. So just kind of give everybody, you know, just jumping into it, give everybody a little bit of a background about yourself.
Yeah, so career-wise, I just started out with a little internship in Wichita, Kansas with a professional indoor football team and just dove right in doing everything that you could do in a sports organization. Taught me a lot about all aspects of the organization. Hopped down to Nashville to work at a little school called Lipscomb University. Was down there for a few months doing video and graphics for them, and then that's when I got the call from you.
And honestly, Bo, like just looking over your past and your resume and things like that, it spoke for itself. The short amount of time that you were with Lipscomb and then the time that you were with the Wichita Force, your resume and your portfolio, you do some great work. So
thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, for your profession, obviously you went to college. Did you go to college for this exactly, or what did you go to college for?
So I went to college for sports management. Didn't really know why, and I just kind of did it because it sounded good. But, you know, I had an interest in sports, and towards the end of college, I knew that I wanted to work in sports. Didn't know where. Didn't know what, so just kind of hopped in and it just went from there teaching myself graphics.
Yeah, and to be honest with you too, I feel like a lot of people go to college, they get a degree, and they end up working in a completely other field other than what their degree is because of the saturation of college graduates and people out there. It's awesome to know that you are self-taught with a lot of the graphic design stuff, or all the graphic design stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do go to school for one thing. Like myself, I went to school for marketing and communications, and I ended up having sports marketing, communications, and public relations. And I went and worked at American Eagle for, you know, 3 months, and I sold cell phones for 3 months, and not even close to what I wanted to do. But so, you know, with giving listeners a little bit of your background of the creative flow that you have about college and not being the exact profession you wanted to do and self-teaching yourself, how did you go about breaking into this profession and getting to where you are with NFL teams having interest in you and other schools having interest in you?
Yeah, so the first thing I did is I just put myself out there. You know, I called the Wichita Force myself. You know, nobody was looking at me at that point. So I had to put myself out there first and foremost. And I had to go through a lot of tribulations to do what I actually wanted to do. Luckily, I had some people who trusted me and were willing to, you know, let me work on, you know, the designs and the creative everything, you know. So, and if you want to be, if you want to have a career in the creative, in creative sports, you know, I think that's the first step. Just put yourself out there so you can build a portfolio and
just have somebody that builds that trust with you. It's to start your career.
Exactly.
That's one of the biggest things is if you can have a job that has trust in you and builds trust in you for your career, it catapults you to that next level, you know, with your portfolio and going to that next job, obviously with you from the Wichita Force to Lipscomb. And I think that's a big thing that you're hitting on.
Yeah, and exactly. And it's just building that portfolio, working on your craft, and developing and showing people that you know what kind of content to put out there, why you're putting it out there, and also having that good eye for design or video or, you know, whatever creative atmosphere you're trying to be in.
No, and I think that's a very key point of is having an eye for what is out there in the industry now and trying to separate yourself from that too. If anything, a lot of design out there you see is very cookie cutter. It's very imitation. You know, imitation is the highest form of flattery, but at the same time too, you want to do something that sets yourself apart from the rest of the career field to catapult yourself into newer jobs and bigger jobs and things of that nature. And a lot of what you've done at Air Force is huge for our brand and for the things that we've done here. Your use of typography, I think, is very key with a lot of the graphics, because not only are people seeing a visually stimulating design, but they're also having to read the words on the design as well. And I think that that breeds into your creativity that you have and the skill sets that you have personally. So I think that's one of the things that sets you apart in this, you know, crazy design world, creative world, whatever you want to call it that we're in.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, and going off of that is the way I kind of learned was by looking at other people's stuff, looking at what they were doing. But then now I'm to the point, it's like when I look out there, a lot of people are doing the same thing. You know, it's very derivative. You know, I want to have the best creative mind that I can. So after doing a lot of research and looking at how companies do certain things, something that really stuck out to me was, you know, do your own research.
Yep.
Air Force, I mean, there's so much that we can do with it. So why look at what Ohio State's doing? Why look at what Alabama's doing when there's so much tradition here? And, I mean, Jets and...
I mean, it's a very vast world that has been untapped. And I think until this last year, we haven't really, you know, dove into that area.
Yeah.
And it's been very cool to see how, you know, the overall idea I had moving forward, I was like, let's use the HUD, you know, heads-up display, let's use planes, let's do this.
Yeah.
And I just said, take it and run with it. And I think that's a big thing, too, in this industry, is not a lot of people have that creative workspace or flow to where they can just say, hey, take this and run with it. It's more of, here is a set list of things that we want in this graphic. Here's a set list of parameters, limitations. And I think that you've just flourished in this kind of, I guess, atmosphere, creativity, you know, dojo that we like to call it with our, you know, little disco ball disco and music ball. Going. But you're right. There are a lot of great schools out there doing some great stuff, like Sammy at Ohio State. You know, I just listened to a podcast with him on it last night. And one of the things I really, you know, gravitated towards was listening to him talk about using typography, using things that are out of, you know, the Swiss typography and other things that he looked at in his degree that he had, which wasn't even, you know, graphic design at the point. But he, you know, if you look, he didn't want people to think that Ohio State just because of the logo. He wanted to put the logo in the like lower left hand corner, lower right hand corner. And if you look at the angles that he uses on that, it's a 45 degree angle, which is the 45 degree angle at the corners of the O. So it's, you know, other small hidden things that are in there. And I think, you know, like you're saying with Air Force, there's a lot of hidden small things that we have yet to explore, that we will be going out and exploring and using and doing, you know, data research and things of that nature, talking to old, you know, alumni, talking to, you know, General Saveria, things of that nature. So I think that's a huge thing that you just touched on. So, so Bo, just kind of, you know, moving forward, what about your job specifically excites you? Because I know you've had a lot of things that you've touched base on, but what specifically excites you about your job? Like, if someone was to be like, hey, I really want to get into graphic design, I really want to start doing this, what are some of the things that you would tell them that makes you happy about your job?
Honestly, the people that you work with. You know, if you can walk in and be able to laugh and giggle and talk about this and that without, like, any, you know, judgment, then, you know, that's a good place to be. Being here is just like, I'm excited to come into work every day because I know someone's going to make me laugh or I'm going to be able to make someone else laugh. That just gets me excited to actually do the work too, because with that type of relationship, I know I'm going to get, you know I can trust the feedback that I get on the graphics.
Yeah.
So if we need to add something, you know, I might act like I'm mad at you for adding it, but you know, I'm gonna do it no matter what.
Yeah. Well, and that's, and I think that's one thing that people need to hear about too, is there is criticism, but it's constructive criticism, it's team building criticism. And it's not necessarily criticism, it's just ideas. It's the brain, you know, brainstorming together to come up with the best possible thing. And that's one of the things that I thoroughly enjoy working with you on, is you come together and you say, what do you want? How do you want it? Let me go from there. And then after you're done, you say, Chris, come over, take a look at this. So you get my eyes on it from a creative standpoint. You get, you know, Colonel Sen's eyes on it from an Air Force standpoint. And you get Mitch's eyes on it from just a basically a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that a lot of people need to be open to, is having that constructive criticism, the building of making something that's already great, even better. Just touch on that a little bit about how, you know, it's not people necessarily getting on you about something being bad. They're just helping you out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly how I would put it. It's, you know, criticism is an amazing thing if you take it the right way.
Yeah.
I've known a lot of people who they don't care for people saying, you know, maybe move this over, or, you know, or, you know, anything. Like, criticism can be anything, but I know those people aren't going to get better at what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's something that I've had to grow with, too, over the last, you know, 3-4 years, is now having more of a standpoint of, is this Air Force appropriate? Is this Air Force football appropriate? And Coach Calhoun having a better understanding of what we're doing and how I've handled that moving forward. Coach Calhoun has ultimate trust in us as far as what we put out. Like, he doesn't question anything we put out unless it's something that he doesn't specifically like the message of. You know, and that's the other thing too, is we have the big Air Force to worry about as well. Like, when we had the A-10 helmets, that was a big, I guess, decision for us, is we couldn't necessarily promote the A-10. We had to promote the P-51 Warthog because of the shark tooth mouth on it. So, you know, at times, like, you get super excited about something, but you need to be open to that criticism. You need to be open to people building you up, not knocking you down, and thinking of it as that as well, is they're building you up. They're not knocking you back down. They're just trying to help you out to get to the point of where this is an amazing product that you're putting out for people.
Yeah, exactly. At any D1 college now, you're going to get a lot of eyes on things.
Yeah.
And if it's not done right, and especially at Air Force,
exactly.
If it's not respectable, and if it's not clean and looks nice, then you're going to get people on you.
So, you know, with criticism and things of that nature, it leads to advice and things of people trying to help you with your job. What are some advice that you would have for someone trying to get into your career field? Like, what would you advise them to do if they're just starting and wanting to promote themselves into the athletic design world?
Yeah, I think you need to have a large social media presence yourself. I've seen a lot of people being promoted or getting work from being cool on social media and taking criticism from professionals on social media and, you know, giving criticism and just talking with people on social media. It's an easy place to put your work out, ask questions. It's a huge thing these days. That's how everybody, all the creatives in the nation, you know, connect. And I was never really on it too much before I got to Air Force, but since I got to Air Force, it's been crazy how many, you know, friends I've been making from other schools and the talks that I've had with other people from other schools. I mean, it's crazy how much you can learn. So if I was to give advice to, you know, a college kid coming out wanting to do this, it's, you know, have a good professional image on social media. You know, make your social media about your career. You know, quit making it about what you eat for dinner and stuff like that. Make it about, well, I mean, have a little personality in there.
Yeah, definitely show yourself off. I mean, to show that you're not a robot.
Exactly.
Just to give yourself a little bit of a personality.
But yeah, make it about connecting with other professionals, other schools, just make it about that.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely a valid standpoint, because you have social media, you have Behance, you have like the huge creative group, the Slack group that's out there. Just making yourself visible, because a lot of kids, they apply for internships, they apply for jobs and things of that nature, and it says submit your portfolio. But if you also have your portfolio online, it makes it that much easier for people to Google you. Because I know, I know everybody and their dog, if you're hiring somebody, you're instantly going to do a Google search on this person. You're going to see their Instagram, you're going to see their Facebook, you're going to see their Twitter, you're going to see their arrest history. No, I'm just kidding. But like, you will see everything about that. And having that virtual presence along with a personality on those presence or those virtual areas or, you know, atmospheres is a huge thing, because a majority of the time, too, people will be like, okay, so this guy has a great portfolio. What is this guy like? Is he posting memes about, you know, politics? Is he posting, you know, videos about, you know, controversial things of that nature? Keep it professional. If anything, have two separate accounts. Have one where you have like all your friends and your personal stuff, and then have one where it's a professional account to where your personality comes out. You have all your work out there and things of that nature. So
yeah, and playing off that again is what we were talking about earlier with the people you work with.
Yep,
that's what employers are looking for too, is someone they think would be a good fit to work with them.
Yeah, a good workspace companion, if you will.
Exactly. And that's mainly what it is, because, you know, you could be the least talented person out there, but if you're hardworking and, you know, you're going to do what you're asked to do, you're going to build and grow
exponentially,
quickly.
Yeah.
Especially if you're around good people already.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's a huge thing anymore in this creative atmosphere that everybody's just breaking into, is you need to have a good nucleus, a good boss, a good person who can, you know, orchestrate and facilitate a awesome workspace area.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, when you went with your interview with the Bucks, there was, you know, you had two or three people who were the head of it all, and then you had the video department, you had the graphic department, and, you know, they all worked cohesively to make a awesome workspace. And I think that's one of the things that we do here well, too, is we're in a room with four other GAs. We have Mitch, the assistant director of recruiting, and then myself. And we're in there all day, but we're, you know, we're jamming out, we're listening to good music, we're, you know, bouncing ideas off one another.
Yeah.
And it's a good work environment. And if you can work or fit yourself into a good work environment or be around good people, I think that that will help you professionally in the long run, because that's what people want. They want somebody who's going to bust their tail, who's going to come to work every day with their hard hat and their lunch bucket and ready to, you know, drop some creative knowledge on you, if you will.
And just kind of another thought is, if you're not getting any looks at your portfolio and you're having trouble getting an internship or job, just go out there and ask anybody for, like, can I shadow you for a week?
Yeah. Or if you can go to their facility and see them, like up the road, we have the Denver Broncos, you know, or we have the CSU Rams. They are all very open to people who are in the creative realm wanting to come and see what they do and how they work together. So
yeah,
I think that's another awesome point to point out as well.
Yeah, who's gonna say no to, yeah, come on in and and just, you know?
And it might not be a week, it might be a day, it might be a couple hours, but it's still better than nothing in the long run.
And now you're meeting people who've done it for a long time.
Yep.
And you can show off a little bit who you are, and they might like you, and continue building a relationship like that too.
Exactly. A normal day for you, Bo. I know days aren't normal, but what does a typical day look like for you?
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends on what part of the year it is, if it's during the season, during the spring, or during the summer.
Yeah.
But overall, it's a lot of recruiting, social media stuff, video, photography. So it's pretty broad, but my main focus is on the graphic design. And with graphic design, you know, right now we're in a recruiting period.
Yeah.
During our OV weekends, official visit weekends, we, you know, get the kids all padded up, which is a fun part of the job too.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And, you know, being right there in the action, taking pictures of them, and then coming back with those pictures and, you know, cutting them out, creating graphics for the kids, and those could be committed graphics or thank you for visiting, you know, or just, you know, something awesome that they can post on their own social media. So yeah, that's kind of a day-to-day
in the life of Bo Savage.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a valid point. It's different from every season, from the in-season to off-season to the summer. You know, in the off-season, we have recruiting visits. During the season, we have game week, week to week to week, 12 weeks in a row. And then in the summer, we have trying to wrangle everybody in so that they get ready for August 1st when we start fall camp, things of that nature. And you do a wide spectrum of things with recruiting, social media, photography, videos. And I think that a lot of people here, assistant creative directors, lead graphic designer, they think that you have your nose buried in a computer for a majority of the day when you're up going around, you're making contacts, you're making connections, going outside, taking photos, taking video. You're done by 5:30, 6 o'clock every day, but you're in at 6:30, 7 o'clock every day to get going with all the coaches, because the coaches will come in and ask you, hey, Bo, I have a kid, he's high priority. Need you to send this, but I also need you to send stuff to their mom, like one of the requests we had today. Like that, we're not only recruiting the kid, we're recruiting the family as well, so that they know what it's like at the Air Force Academy, because if you don't have the whole family in on it, you don't have the full recruit. And that's one of the key things Coach Calhoun has really preached and practiced and pushed upon this team, and the team has accepted it, is the family atmosphere. And that's one of the things that I've tried to do with you too, with the graphic design and the assistant creative directors. This is a family. We're a tight-knit group. We may be small, we may not be the size of Alabama or Texas or Ohio State, but it's you and me, brother, and we're gonna make this bad boy work. So
yeah, and we are.
Exactly. I think we're doing a great job. Not to pat ourselves or toot our own horn, but toot toot. Before we get into the five random quickfire questions, is there anything that you haven't touched on or that you wanted to retouch on that you would tell somebody who is wanting to get in this profession 30 seconds? Like, what would you tell them to say, hey, understand you want to get into this career field? Here's some things you should do.
Learn about the whole sports organization. Try to work in different... Try to work in sales, try to work in operations, you know, try to be a coach if you can.
Yeah.
Just to see every type of the organization.
To get a full experience of it.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be like full time, you know, do it on the side, whatever. It helps understand what you need to be putting out and understand what the fans want to see. It's exciting to be part of. It's an exciting future to look forward to because you know you have the ability to work on any creative outlet that you want, whether it be design, video, photography. They all mix in together so you can, you know, play around with whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I think that's something really special about the creative world. So,
well, you got me pumped. I want to do it now. So, I think that's a very accurate statement because it's a very exciting, always changing world. And if you could submerge yourself in it entirely for a little bit, if it's, you know, an internship, something free, you know, very low income, you're not going to be making $80,000-$90,000 right off the bat. Like, no. You have to understand that you have to get your licks in. You have to put in the time and effort to get to where you want to be. Like you're saying,
exactly.
Posting on social media, you're not making any money, but you're getting yourself out there. You're getting the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like what you said, if you get into sales, you get into marketing, you get into public relations, you know, coaching, things of that nature, you have a better understanding of what the organizational structure is like. And then you can also take that and put it into your design and use that to utilize the full organizational chart or full organizational ethos, if you will.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
All right. Are you ready for the 5 random quickfire questions? Like I've already done with a couple other podcasters, is I ask 5 quickfire questions, and I just want your general quick answer. Don't think about it. Just give me a quick answer, okay?
Okay.
All right, Bo Savage, are you ready for the 5 quickfire questions? Here we go. If you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say?
Eat Costa Vida.
That's a very strong ad. What is in your refrigerator right now?
I do not grocery shop.
Do not grocery shop. A very bachelor life, if you will.
My roommate's food.
Oh, there you go. Hopefully your roommate's not listening to this.
I think I got some yogurt.
Okay. You've been given an elephant and you can't get rid of it. What would you do with the elephant?
I'd put it in my backyard and then I guess I'd go ride it down the streets.
Okay. So that's 3. Here's number 4. Would you rather permanently live in a roller coaster park or a zoo?
Zoo.
Okay. And last question.
Because I'm an animal.
It's true. Last question. Would you rather look like a potato or feel like a potato?
Feel like a potato.
All right. Bo, you've passed the 5 random quickfire questions. Congratulations. And also, too, if you don't follow Bo is on social media at Twitter at SavageLife_19, correct?
Yep.
Is that also the same for Instagram?
Same
for Instagram. So, again, that's at SavageLife_19. On Instagram and Twitter. Please follow Bo, see what awesome stuff he has going out. Again, this has been Bo Savage. Bo, I appreciate your time and appreciate being able to work with you.
Same thing, Chris.
All right. And welcome back to the Support Staff Podcast. Just want to say thank you to everybody in the support staff who came in on this podcast. Steve Sen, Sarah Goolsby, Bo Savage, and Scott Richardson. Without them, this team would not be what it is today or in the future from here on. These people make up the essence of Air Force football and are the unsung heroes of this profession. Here at the United States Air Force Academy, we really take pride in our team and we take pride in what we do daily. I hope that you take pride in what you do daily, and I hope that you are enjoying this podcast. If there's anything that you'd like to see, hear, just any general comments, please leave them in the comment section below. Make sure you give us a like and a follow, and also try and find us on Twitter at Support Staff Podcast. Again, that's at Support Staff Podcast. We'll be posting some questions and things of that nature to see who you would like to see, who you'd like to hear from, and, you know, just to conversate with you out there too, to give you another venue of how to get into these support staff roles. Again, my name is Chris Miller. I appreciate you listening, and I hope that you have a great evening, a great afternoon, or a great morning, wherever that may be.